Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever wondered why it's happening again?
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie. Michael and Jeannie share with you the wisdom of the ancient Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. They offer tools and support 5 days a week. They will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love. In Aramaic, Rachma. Michael is the author of Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. And now your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice.
To the brightness within you and the truth that is rooted within me.
Happy Monday and welcome to Mind Shifters Radio. I'm Michelle Pache, and I'm here today with Dr. Tim Hayes. We warmly welcome you to the show, and thank you for choosing to be with us. Today is October 27th, 2014. Our call-in number is 646-200-4169. Press 1, and that puts you into queue to talk with Dr. Hayes. We encourage you to call in with your comments or questions, allowing you to actively strengthen and deepen your practice. Now, let's welcome Tim in the process of learning and experiencing Aramaic forgiveness.
Hello, Michelle.
Hello.
I am driving. Hopefully this is a clear enough signal for you.
You know, I heard a little of the road noises, but your voice is strong and clear.
All right. Well, thank you for running the switchboard and helping us keep this show going, even when Michael and Jeannie can't be here. And what news, if any, have you of their visit to the Michigan area this past week?
Well, Michael had asked some people at the beginning of the week to notice what happens as they move through the lectures, and starting off with last Sunday, I attended that and have attended every night with different levels of family and friends and clients. And yesterday at church, he did another talk on codependency, interdependency, and it has been very, very powerful to him in the sense that I've been likening it to rehab. It's kind of like I'm in recovery for fear and hostility. And when you're in inpatient rehab, let's say down at Heartland at the center in Theodosia, and you're supported and you're structured and you're guided and you're practicing your skills of forgiveness and being love, it's pretty easy. I mean, there's a lot of opportunity, of course, to bump up against your stuff, but there's love and support and guidance that really helps you gain some foundation. So being in the real world, and I'm attending these lectures every night, it's kind of like outpatient, where you're being fortified, you're being reminded of the principles, you're practicing them, you know, during the lecture and such, but then you're immediately thrown out into the real world, and you have to think on your feet, and you're immediately confronted. I mean, some nights I was in the parking lot being confronted again, but then, you know, you've got this refresher course. So it's a different kind of experience, because definitely I have felt more sense of being love and more opportunities to practice skill, but it's being integrated in a different way than kind of the seclusion of Heartland. And so they're both valuable experiences, but there's definitely a difference. And I have I've taken some real serious ground this week with their presence here, and I cannot thank them enough personally and professionally, because I've been getting text after text after text from my clients who are just so appreciative and so thankful and so grateful, and I'm just popping all over the place. So that's what I have to say about this week.
All right. Well, I'm glad it was powerful and productive for you, and I suppose we should say a little bit about what this is that's so powerful and productive, and that is the teachings from start to finish about how to improve the quality of your life, physically, mentally, emotionally, relationships, work life, and these teachings aren't new. And there's nothing in these teachings that is new. These teachings are based on 2,000 or 3,000 or 5,000 year old, depending upon where you source it from, information about how the human mind-body-energy system works, how the system works, how thought produces emotion, how our what our true nature is, how we're supposed to be functioning in the world, and how when we put energies that don't belong into our system, it feels uncomfortable. There's a built-in alarm system that lets us know when we're off the mark. And that alarm system looks like our negative emotions and our physical pain. And the bottom line to these tools is to help us first define what our true nature is and how we're supposed to be living and functioning from that true nature. And secondly, how to remove everything that's been layered into our mind-body-energy system over the years, the decades, the centuries, the millennium, that's less than that loving energy, that's less than our true nature. And as we continue to remove the garbage, we get an easier and easier time to access and experience consciously what it is that we're made of and the way we're supposed to be interacting with others on the planet. The core tool for that is called forgiveness. It's available on the website at www.whyagain.org. And if you click on the red and white bullseye, or the link at the top of the page that says start here, it takes you to a page where you can download the Reality Management Worksheet, which is now called something else. I think it's Change Your Mind, Change Your Life. But it's the tool that steps us through a process of removing the energies that don't belong in our system. In the ancient Aramaic, the word for that was to shebag, or to cancel and remove, and the Greeks translated it as forgive. And they gave it the meaning that they had for the word to pardon. And the difficulty there is that as soon as I say I'm going to pardon somebody else for what I'm feeling inside of myself, I have entered into a state called denial. Now I've made up a lie. I've used the images my mind shows me to create a picture in my mind of how somebody else has caused me to feel something inside my mind and body. And if I'm living in denial, I'm actually blocking from my awareness the part of my mind that's creating my pain. And as long as I block from my awareness the source of my pain, I have no possibility to remove that pain. And by pain, I mean physical pain, a negative emotional state, a negative thought pattern that comes back and is irritating or distracting. Anything that doesn't belong within my system, that functions inside my system, it disrupts my energy field. I'm not living in a body. I'm not talking to you from a body. I'm talking to you from an energy field. And what belongs in that energy field is the essence of creation, the same thing that makes the flowers bloom and keeps my heart beating at night when I'm asleep and digests my food. That pure energy of creation that wants to express through each of us, that's our true nature. And everything that's less than that is error. It's not dooming me in some theological sense or philosophical sense. It doesn't mean I'm a bad person when I put these energies inside of me. It simply means it's disrupting my energy system, and it makes it more difficult for me to focus on and be aware of my true nature as love. And when it's hard for me to focus on and be aware of my true nature as love, it's more difficult for me to extend that true nature in every interaction with every person and everything. And that's my purpose on the planet, is to extend the energy of love in creation in myriad ways, all day, every day. And everything I do that's other than that is just not fulfilling my true purpose. It doesn't mean it's necessarily bad. It's simply not a bullseye. It's off the mark. So this tool's available for free. You don't even have to put in your email address. If you click on that link at www.whyagain.org, you'll have access to this tool. As long as you've got a computer and a printer, you can print off the worksheet, and you can start using it today to improve the quality of your life. So that's what we're here to help teach and promote. And Michael and Jeannie, again, are off on another 8 or 10 or 11 months of travel. And when they travel, they teach these tools, and they move town to town, and then they move on. And for years, they would move on, and people would get excited about what they learned, and then it would all fade away because they didn't have a support for that. To continue to learn, to ask questions, to process, to start support groups. And one of the main functions of this internet show is to fulfill that support role. So Michael and Jeannie are going to be traveling all the rest of the year. And after they finish a set of workshops like they did in Michigan and Lansing area this past week, there might be some people who listen to some of those lectures and they've got some questions. How does that work? How is that codependent dynamic and that power person dynamic related to my life? What's this reality management worksheet that he talked about? What's this talk of responsibility communication? If you have questions like that, that's the purpose of this internet show. So, I'll pause and see if we have any hands up or anything going on in the chat room. Michelle?
No hands up right now in the chat room. There's somebody who hasn't been there for a while, and so we're just kind of catching up with them. And not sure if the guest who does the Parent Teacher Mondays is on today. So if she is, Suzanne, then maybe she could press 1 and that will bring her up to queue so I can turn on her mic.
All right. Well, please interrupt if somebody does raise a hand, and I'll talk a little bit about a couple of things. One of them is the Parent Teacher Mondays. And as we talked about last Monday, everything about this work is important for the parent-teacher, parent relationship to the child and the teacher relationship to the child, because everything that we own internally that's less than love is stuff that we got through the generations or that we created and accepted as our reality in our interactions since we were born. So since we're all connected energetically, whenever parents or teachers or caregivers learn to do their work to remove what's less than love from their system, they not only make it easier for them to interact lovingly with children in the moment, in that day, they also do work that benefits everybody in their bloodline going backwards and forwards. And one of the best things about this work, from my experience, is when I get to introduce it to parents and they introduce it to their family system. So the parents begin talking to the children about how to support each other and the parents in applying these tools and applying them in the moment in real life situations. Much like you were saying, Michelle, it's one thing to go to an intensive center or a retreat center, and that's very helpful. and it sometimes is what people need to take their work to the next level. And this work is not meant simply to be used in a monastery or off in a cave somewhere. This work is meant to be used in what Way of Mastery would call the very best ashram in the world for you, and that is your day-to-day life. The people that come into your life, the experiences that are presented to you, the day-to-day chores of being a good housekeeper, to keeping your body and your mind clean, that day-to-day existence, that's where the tools are meant to be lived. And some of the greatest, quickest successes I've seen have been when I've been able to introduce these tools to parents of young children, and the parents have been willing to teach it to their children, introduce it into a family system that they build around the core of these tools. And I've literally had parents come and tell me that they were filled with joy and laughter when their three-year-old turned to their six-year-old at the dinner table, and the six-year-old was upset about something, and the three-year-old told him, "You better start tapping. You should be breathing." And the three-year-old was speaking in such a way that the six-year-old couldn't quite understand, and the adults knew exactly what the three-year-old was saying. So teaching tools like the Reality Management Worksheet and teaching tools like the breath work to children is one of the most powerful ways to make their lives better, to empower them to start building a healthier, happier life. And if you were at one of Dr. Michael Rice's or all of Dr. Michael Rice's and Jeannie's workshops this past week in Lansing, you might have gotten started. You might have had a few brain cells open up. You might have begun to think about the possibility that you're not a physical body as much as you are an energy system. You might have gotten the idea thrown in your face for the very first time that every time in the past you told somebody, "You made me angry," or "You hurt my feelings," that you were living in a lie, you were living in denial, and that you were living from a hallucination that your mind was creating. And it was creating it from your past experience and from the history of your bloodline. And if that's happened, I assure you, you've just begun the first step of a 20,000 light year journey. And just keep stepping. Not because you're going to reach the end of your 20,000 life year journey this week or next week or next year, but because each step can take you to a better, more loving place. Each worksheet I do brings me greater ease for the next worksheet and greater ease at remembering my true nature. Every time I get triggered in a situation and my mind tells me Sally made me angry, and I sit down and do a worksheet and I realize within 5 to 10 minutes I'm feeling either loving and peaceful or I'm feeling sad and hurt rather than angry, it teaches me, oh wait, Sally's not even here. So Sally can't be responsible for this change in my mood. And that means Sally wasn't responsible for my anger. So that gives me an easier state to stand from, to open up the next worksheet and the next worksheet and the next worksheet, and to create a mindset that tells me I really want to be focusing more inside my mind and body as I live my life day to day than I want to be focused on the outside. Because what my eyes show me, what my brain cells from the past get resonated and show me, is all a lie. My thoughts cannot show me what's in front of me. One of my favorite quotes from before I met Michael's work is, my past has nothing to do with who I am. It has only to do with who I thought I was. And I take from that the meaning that I only act in every moment based on who I think I am in that moment. And who I think I am moment to moment comes from the past, comes from what I've been conditioned to believe. What would a psychologist do here? What would a 60-year-old man do here? What would a man who was raised in Indiana do here? What would a, you know, mixed up, half conservative, half liberal mind do here? What would a father who deserves respect from his sons do here? And that's what drives my actions. Unless I'm able to take a step back, realize I'm feeling something less than love, have tapped into the awareness that that means my alarm system's going off. And when an alarm system goes off inside my mind, it's not telling me something's wrong outside my mind. It's telling me something's wrong inside my mind. And the more I train myself to take a breath and look inside and stop thinking, stop talking, stop acting toward what is coming from outside, the greater liberty I have to dismantle the source of my upset, to restore myself to that awareness of my true nature as the essence of love, and time after time, my vision clears up. And time after time, I don't see somebody that I need to attack or be defensive against. I see somebody who's either actively expressing their true nature as love or who's calling out for help and healing. And that's my job. That's our work. Every tool that's presented comes back to the same thing over and over. Before the call, I spent the last 2 hours listening to the first 2 hours of Why It Is Happening to Me Again, the newest four-hour version that Michael did when he was in Woodstock the last day. And again, I get slightly different insights. Again, something slightly different jumps to the forefront of my mind. Not because Michael's saying anything different than he was the last time I heard this video, but because my mind is different. Because since the last time I watched this video, I've removed some of the bushel baskets or a few pieces of a bushel basket. Or I've had something traumatic, upsetting, triggered by outside events, and I have an energy of trauma or upset active in my mind as I listen to the video. And what I hear coming into my ears through this vibration triggers different brain cells this time than it did the last time. And then I get to see more of the content of my mind. As I see content of my mind that I don't like, thanks to people like Dale Allen Hoffman, Guy Finley, Dr. Michael Rice, I have tools to remove it. So I'll pause and see if anybody has a hand up, if those thoughts have stirred any questions in anyone.
Tim, could you repeat the quote?
The quote about what, my past?
Yeah, your favorite quote.
Well, one of my favorite quotes, even before I ran into Michael's work, was, my past has nothing to do with who I am. It has only to do with who I thought I was. So when I did what I did, let's say I got rageful at my children because they wouldn't pick up their toys, in that moment, what I did out of rage that I'm now judging myself negatively for, or thinking I'm a horrible father because I said or did this, that really has nothing to do with who I am today. Who I am today is this true nature as the energy of love that's looking for a way to express. And my past is about who I thought I was at that time. Let's say in that situation, I was a father who had been raised by very conservative parents who taught me to believe the parents rule the roost and they deserve respect. And if a child doesn't do what the parent says, the parent should rage at them to get them to correct their behavior. If I'm thinking that that's who I am, when my children don't do what I ask them to do, that's how I behave. I behave from who I thought I was.
Got
it. I'm not behaving from my true nature.
I went to go try to look it up before you repeated it for me, and I came across this, see how it fits within the framework of what you just said. It goes, I am not who you think I am. I am not who I think I am. I am who I think you think I am. So I read it, and it took me a minute, like, what the heck? And then I'm like, you know what? Let's just be love and call it a day.
Well, that's what I took from the quote that I had even long before I met Michael, was that it gives me, that quote gives me the freedom to release my thoughts and judgments about my past behaviors and choose anew in this moment. And if after I met Michael and I gained this technology and this terminology of becoming aware of my true nature as the essence of love, then it fit even more. So my past has to do with energies. I was acting from energies that were off the mark. The past has nothing to do with my true nature. And at
right.
any moment, if I try to, you know, act from my true nature, I will be more loving.
Mm-hmm.
And
absolutely.
If I apply the tools to remove anything less than love, that gets easier and easier to do.
I hear you. So, Sunny must have had a mind meld because I noticed she was on and I thought, oh, Sunny, reach her in. Let's get an update on your daughter. And then there you were.
Oh, hi.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. I'm sorry to have missed you last Friday in Ada. I had a conflict, and then it was so funny. On Saturday, I was doing my mind shifter exercise, and you know how you write down everything you hear, right? In your head. So I'm writing about my topic of my mind shifter, and then I started laughing, and I said to Jeannie, who was putting away her book table, I said, you know what? I just had these really random thoughts about Sunny, and I started laughing, and she goes, oh, she was here yesterday. I said, no way. Like, your energy must have still been in the church.
Oh, all right.
That was a long way to travel for a lecture, but I sounds like you got something out of it. So you were talking about a little bit last week. Is some new information come up?
Yes. For my daughter and I, by the way, that is just coming home. I'm originally from Michigan. I lived in Ionia, right up the street from the prison where you and Rex are doing the ministry there. So I'm very familiar as certain things are mentioned in the geography at times. So, I was just thought that since it was you and Dr. Kim there today to get your input, because it's very, you know, very, very lately that it is the two of you. I've been doing a lot of work and with my daughter with me now, Michelle, for the past couple months. Got her to Michael's seminar. I've done a lot of work over, it's been probably 5 months now, with the mother stuff. And we've been getting lots of progress through the worksheets. Obviously good stuff happening, but I have somehow stayed in the symptoms of feeling where I can't find my rage if there is any. I know that my daughter is not as rageful. She is much happier and calmer. but I have pain in my hips and my legs that doesn't seem to want to go away. And there is stuff being found by the heart chakra. And I don't know if even in regulatory speech, either of the two of you may be able to hear something or tell me how, you know, will our stuff comes up, we get into the symptoms of healing, and we just maybe move on in Hydra to the next thing, the next thing, the next thing. But I've stayed stuck in this. Do you have any suggestions? Because this is not fun. It's amazing, amazing, as it comes, if I might add, how we do allow ourselves to suffer and what we will tolerate and put the body through and settle for before we actually address it. Is that amazing or what?
Well, okay, so to begin with, I would encourage you, and I was put in mind of this when Michelle was speaking, to use the I phrases rather than the generalizations and what we and you feel this. So to begin with, start talking about it based on your actual experience. It's amazing how much I put myself through in suffering. And I must be in denial about something. That's the first thing. The second thing I would ask is, what work have you done around this pain? How many worksheets, what mind shifters have you done, let's say, on it safe and healing for me to be flexible, to have ease and comfort throughout my body? How many actual tool applications have you put in that area, and what has the result been?
Well, I'm not, that's what I say, I'm not finding it in worksheet. Tired and frustration, and that word frustration to me is very complicated. I don't arrive at anything when I'm, you know, what is frustration, you know?
Okay, but stop for a minute. Michelle, I'm sorry, I'm asking you to talk about worksheets you did on the hip pain.
Yeah, when I do the worksheets, I just keep coming back to frustration. And then I don't know how to look at frustration. I don't know what frustration is saying, I guess. You know
what
I mean?
Well, all right, and then don't go there. Go,
well, Sonny, let me
go
yes,
to
go,
the thoughts and then the emotions. What were you saying, Michelle?
I just wanted to clarify what the issue was with her legs. You said you had a pain in your legs?
It seems to be the hips, pelvis, and then it just really wants to, you know, give trouble to the legs, you know. Then you get tired.
Okay.
You know, I get tired. I get tired, Dr. Tim.
Well,
yeah,
when you know, I was thinking about, because I thought you had said about the legs, but because the legs is what carries you forward in life, and so if there's maybe some type of fear of the future or not wanting to move, then that would probably show up in your legs or, you know, the hips carrying your body in balance and moving forward in life. So maybe go from the symptoms backwards.
Right. Okay. That's good, too. That's kind of what I'm looking for, because it's, you know, like I said, I just have that tendency of, you know, doing a whole lot of everything all at one time. So, focusing on her.
Sonny, try this. Try a mind shifter using what Michelle just said, and let's use what you said earlier. And combine the two and have your mind shifter be, it's safe and healing for me and my relationships to move forward in my life with peace and calm.
I'm writing.
That's beautiful, Tim. That's perfect. Hold on. Let's see if I got it right. It is safe and healing for me and my relationships to move forward with ease and calm. Correct?
Move forward in my life.
With my life.
And,
okay.
And some people need to hold on to the identification of the negative aspect. What we're talking about here is you have said you have done a lot of work on your rage, and right now you can't find your rage. So maybe if that doesn't resonate, maybe you need to say in that mind shifter, it's safe and healing for me and my relationships to release my rage and move forward in my life with peace and calm.
Safe and healing for me to release
my rage.
My rage.
And move forward in my life with peace and calm.
Okay. All righty. I will give this, move forward in my life with peace and calm. All righty. I thank you. That is exactly what I was hoping to find, is a good mind shifter, or, yes, thank you. God bless you.
All right, Sunny, so you'll maybe call us later in the week and give an update on what got uncovered, because I think you're gonna get somewhere with that.
Yeah, I really hope so, and I believe so, too. Thank you both very, very much.
You're very welcome.
All righty. God bless.
Thanks for the call.
I have someone at the door, frankly, so I will let
all
you
right.
go.
All
right. I thank you very much. God bless you.
So, Michelle, do we have anybody else with a hand up, comment from you, or a question in the chat room?
No, that was a great tag team. I think she really served well, and I hope she sits down and gives herself the time to do that mind shifter. It's powerful. And we have area code 901 on the air. Who do we have and where are you calling from?
Good morning or good afternoon. Hi, this is Bernie in Memphis. And
Hello,
how are you doing today? I'm enjoying listening to this. The caller who just called in regarding to the rage and that she couldn't feel it or couldn't identify with it. And so I was just going to give my experience with working for that, or with that, for what it's worth. When I first started going to Heartland and working with Michael, and I was trying to tap into rage, I couldn't remember anything in my life ever that I had ever felt rage about. And I knew it was there, but I could not remember, identify, or anything. And then someone, and I'm not quite sure who it was, suggested that instead of focusing on rage as the rage and looking for that, that I start looking at other things and identifying them as rage. For instance, I could say, I'm frustrated, and I noticed she had mentioned in her worksheet she got down to the point where she could get to frustration. I started calling these other emotions rage, frustration, and started using that and saying, well, that is a form of rage. And then irritation. I started calling irritation rage. And through that process of calling these other emotions at rage, I finally was able to start identifying and doing my worksheets with putting rage into the parentheses by those other feelings. And that was very beneficial for me. So I'm just messing that on for comments and such.
Well, I think that's an excellent comment. Michael is often quoted as saying, our slightest irritation is connected to our deepest rage. And this is why so often when he starts out and talks about, please pick a very small upset on a scale of 0 to 10, 0 is no upset, 10 is off the charts upset. When you're starting to learn the worksheet process, choose an item, choose an upset in your life for which you have a little bit of upset, maybe a 2 or a 3. And often when he does that, people come back and say, I thought I was starting with a level 1 or level 2 upset, and then all of a sudden here's this big upset that gets uncovered by the worksheet because it's all connected. There is only love or fear, as the Course in Miracles would say. There is only this recognition of our true nature as expressions of creative energy or everything else, and everything else is false. And everything else, as we focus on it, pulls our attention away from that wonderful, expansive, connected, loving, joyful core, and we have the greatest of upsets connected to being distracted from that loving, connected core. It's like having a child with their favorite flavor of ice cream, and you hand them the cone and they get one or two licks of it and they're just ecstatically happy, and then the dog comes by and eats the cone. Well, that child's going to be pretty upset. Well, that's kind of like our upset when we decide to focus on something other than our true nature as love, only it's a little bit stronger. Well, thank you. Is there anything else we can support you with?
I'm just enjoying listening to the programs. It's a nice support in the middle of the day. So I thank you for all of your input and things that you have to say.
Well, thank you. We're glad you're listening.
Can I ask you a quick question? Is your name Bernie with V or Bernie with B?
Bernie with V as in Victor.
Okay. I asked because in the chat room, one of our listeners said it was a great point that you made, and that's what she's been doing, no longer downplaying her feelings by doing the worksheets. And she similarly has had huge movements, and she started that, and the rage is what she's been working on. So your comments hit home with a listener.
Well, good. But I found that I had to almost develop a loving, and this sounds strange, but a loving relationship with that word, because I wasn't allowed to. You know, you weren't allowed to feel rage. You weren't allowed to feel all of these other feelings. And so until I could find a way to develop this acknowledgement and acceptance of what it was, I just couldn't move forward with it. So that was the process that helped me. So I'm glad that was coming out.
That makes sense to me. Accepting it is part of the process. And P said, to rid the rage, love your heart that allowed the rage to come through. And a lot of people try to block their feelings, and then it comes out sideways. And as we address and love the rage, that emotional energy can return to love. So it's interesting. People are reiterating those sentiments in the chat room.
One of the things that the Course in Miracles talks about is bringing as the conscious mind as the altar. And that until we bring those deep emotions, that deep rage, that deep fear, you know, which is the fundamental one, to the surface, we bring it to the altar. And then we are able at that point in time, once we look at it and recognize it, and really look at how it feels and what is resonating in our in my body. And I start, I'm going to use the personal term, is when I start looking at how it's affecting my body and really looking at it and just saying, okay, how is this feeling going? How does this feel right now? And then when I've gone through that process of really coming to terms with the feeling and accepting the feeling, then I have the option of saying, okay, do I want to hold on to this, or do I want to, quote-unquote, sacrifice this on the altar and let it release, and then choose what I really want to feel. And that that exercise in the Course in Miracles has been very helpful also.
Yeah, that's the key is a lot of people want to use the words interchangeably, but one of the best words to interchange with love is acceptance. And so often when we have people start this work and starting worksheets, they get down to their punishment thought, and they want to see themselves as a loving spiritual being, and they don't want to look at a punishment thought. Mm-hmm. And then if they're able to identify a punishment thought, then they judge themselves negatively for it. Well, as soon as I judge myself negatively for something, I'm going to start hiding from myself the actuality that's there. I'm going to try to pretend that I'm loving before I'm actually feeling the love. And it's what Michael would call premature positive thinking. And so I agree wholeheartedly. If people can accept that, you know, I think from your call, one of the things that might help people is to realize the slightest irritation is connected to the deepest rage. So if they're doing worksheets and they have irritation or frustration come up, they are doing worksheets on their rage.
Yes.
If they have sadness come up, sadness is less than the energy of creation and love. So that is also connected to the deepest pain we have. So they're on track. The key is just keep doing the work. Don't judge the work. Do the work.
One of the words that came up when I was looking at this, when I was at Heartland and really trying to look and identify this, Michael has the list of all these emotions you go through and can you identify with this or that. And the one that really jumped out with me was apathy. And I realized that apathy, that feeling of nothing, or that feeling of no feeling, which I called it, really was a feeling of apathy, but that was part of that deepest rage also.
Yeah, that's the giving up. That's giving in to the idea, to the false idea, that we are less than love and that we can't get back to that true nature. And again, that's going to be connected to our upset at having been distracted from our true nature. And it's going to be connected to, you know, what the Course in Miracles would call the sin of trying to believe we were separate from God, or that we could use the creative capacity that the Creator instilled in us to separate ourselves from God and to separate ourselves from our creativity. And that's the one thing we can't do with it. The root of the work is to recognize, and Dr. Wright hit this in the lecture, he was the four-hour, he was, why is this happening again, the four-hour lecture he did in Woodstock, and he said, one of the greatest tragedies that we have perpetuated on ourselves is to believe that we are not creators. And that's the one thing that we will always be. We will always be creating with the thoughts we choose. And every time we choose sad, angry, fearful, judgmental, separation thoughts, we are creating that experience for ourselves internally. And we say, We want love. We want peace. We want inclusion. We want to see ourselves as the one true being. And yet, we're upset that that's not our experience. And we create a bunch of thoughts around that upset. And then we create for ourselves the experience of being separate, which is a lie. There can't be that separation. There can only be the choice to focus on thoughts about separation. But as Krishnamurti would say, the thought is not the thing. And I can sit and think about myself as being a disgusting human being and being separate from God and being bad and dirty and wretched all I want. Those thoughts don't make it so. They simply make it my experience. And as Michael points out in so many of his workshops, I've experienced. I love this quote from Ben Franklin. I read an autobiography of Ben Franklin years ago, and Ben Franklin said, "I have experienced many horrible difficulties in my life, most of which have never happened." Ben Franklin was one. He was one smart guy. We all do that. We experience ourselves as bad, evil, wretched, awesome, disconnected from love, and it has never happened. I have never been able to change my true nature any more than an alligator ever changed its true nature. And my true nature is that energy of creation trying to express through me. Now, I can change my experience of myself and my true nature, but I can't change the nature. And everything that's less than love that comes up in a thought, feeling, physical sensation, action is coming out of me. It's error. And it's either error I inherited from my genetics on mom's side or dad's side, or it's error that I made in interpreting the patterns of behavior between me and my power person. And it is available in the moment that I feel it consciously. If I see it for what it is and I own it as my own, it's available for removal. And the tool for removing it is canceling, shebagging, dismantling, forgiving, from within my energy system. So, I guess I went off on a little bit of a little tangent there.
Well, I think the point that I thought was very good that you made was that you don't realize we are creators, we're powerful creators, but we don't realize that, and my thought was that we actually we're creating all the time, as you said, and every thought that we have is, well, of course, Miracle uses the word made for those thoughts that are connected with fear, and create with the thoughts that are connected with love, but every thought is powerful, and we forget that we're being very powerful in a more negative way, but we have that same power to go in the other direction, and we just need to make that choice.
Yeah, and the only change I would make in what you're saying is we have the power to create the hallucination that we're moving in another direction, and we can't ever go anywhere. We never left.
We never left
our teacher. And
yeah.
It's rooted in our very substance, in our energetic presence, in the dimensions of our existence, and that's the stuff we're made of. And there's a very powerful set of distinctions that you're talking about from the Course in Miracles around the words made and create. And Way of Mastery does the same distinction and says, you know, you make things and you have effort to make things. And that's what you're making is an experience. It's a hallucination. What's true is creation and the energy of creation constantly expressing. So I thank you for the call. It's
And thank you for clarifying that last bit. Let me out. Well, appreciate it. You have a good day.
Thank you. Thanks, Bernie. So, Michelle?
Well, we had 810 and 860 waiting, but looks like they dropped off. Maybe they didn't feel there was enough time. There's still 4 minutes left in the stream here.
Well, I thank you, Michelle, for running the switchboard today. And do you know what the schedule is like for Michael and Jeannie and when they're starting the intensive?
Well, the intensive starts on Halloween, actually. But earlier, you know, in the week tonight, they are speaking on the Advanced Course in Miracles at Fellowship for Today, which is one of the three Unity organizations that is here in Lansing area. So that presentation is tonight from, let's see, 7 to 9. What is the world from the Course in Miracles? Well, you know, on the one side it says 9, so yeah, I would assume it's 9:30. Actually, I've noticed we haven't gotten out much earlier than 10 o'clock most nights. I'm sure you had a similar experience. So that's at the Fellowship for Day on Michigan Avenue in Lansing. And then tomorrow he's presenting Why Is This Happening to Me Again? And that similarly is an evening lecture from 7 to 9:30 p.m., which, you know, he says you better listen fast because that's a lot of information to get in 2.5 hours for the Why workshop. But he's going for it, and that's at the I Am Ministries on Washington Avenue down in Lansing as well. So he's got a couple busy days before he sends out to Pinckney.
All right. Well, I told him last week that a number of years ago I heard him give the lecture, What is the World?, based on lessons in the Course in Miracles.
Mm-hmm.
And I must on into the ozone somewhere because all I remember at the end of the lecture was, I have to hear this again. And I can't really even tell you why. I don't know what it was that hooked me. But if you're in the area, anywhere around, this is in Lansing again tonight?
Yeah, Tim, you are so right. I saw it last week in Ada, and of all the nights, it's the only duplication for the Lansing week, and I'm so thankful because you're right. It is extremely powerful.
And it must hit one of the core pieces I need to learn more of and integrate. We have 90 seconds left, but I just wanted to say, if you're in that area and you want to move your thoughts, your spirituality, your healing to the next level, the lecture tonight might be the thing for you to open up your experience. Just like this coming Thursday, I'm going to present the first hour of the 3-hour lecture on the Mayan calendar. And in that first hour, it lays out thoughts and questions that just shook me and made me think about things very, very differently the first time I heard this, I don't know, 12, 14 years ago. Anyway, thank you all for being here. Come back tomorrow, bring a friend, and in the meantime, have the best year yet of your eternal life. Thanks, Michelle.
Thank you for listening to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie, who present the internal Aramaic process of forgiveness. Michael and Jeannie are here every Monday through Friday on Earth Angels Radio. For more on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.1 whyagain.com. That's www.whyagain.com.
Evolving continuously.
Continuously.